We are back at Rally House, 97th and Quivira. Stop on out, get yourself signed up for a $500 voucher to Tickets for Less, $250 gift card to Rally House, and an autographed Neil Smith football. You have to get here to sign up before the end of the show at 10 o'clock, and you'll have a chance to win that terrific prize pack here at Rally House and get your shopping done as well for the upcoming holiday and get some Dunkin' Donuts. And in this hour only.
Yes, because we're not here after this hour.
Dante Hall.
Dante may stay, but we're not.
Dante Hall joins us.
Good morning.
What's up, fellas?
How are you?
I'm good now that I got my brain fuel.
Yeah, there you go. You're up watching LeBron late last night, huh?
Real late, yep.
We were joking about that a little bit during the break. I've said that all season, like about a month in, I've realized, man, I barely see LeBron anymore. And then I realized I get up so early that I can't watch those West Coast games. And
so you're not a true LeBron fan then. I have kids that wake me up before the sun every day. And I stay up every night. And I'm on the East Coast.
Yeah, I'm soft. Okay, I'm soft. That's fine. But I watch way less LeBron than I did when he was playing in the East. It's much easier. It fit my schedule better.
Yeah, it's tough now, man.
It is. It's like when you get up at like 4 o'clock in the morning like we do, a 7 o'clock game is perfect. You know, 9 o'clock game, you're like, about that one. But we all know the NBA doesn't start till Christmas Day anyway.
That second game of the doubleheader is always tough.
Yeah, got two more weeks of the preseason before the real stuff gets going.
I don't know. Last night was a pretty good game.
It was. It was one of those deals. I was reading some about it on ESPN this morning and seeing how he kind of took over a game last night. Kind of like old school LeBron doing it with Dwayne Wade in the house too, right?
Yep.
You got to love that kind of stuff.
Got a little bit of flash in there.
Yeah.
Flash D-Wade.
I mean, he to me is I mean, it's like, you know, Patrick Mahomes now, like must-see TV type stuff.
Oh, LeBron was, absolutely.
You know, like I appreciate you guys as former athletes, like, admitting to being able to watch other dudes and be like, that's awesome. Because a lot of times you guys aren't impressed because, I did all that.
Yeah. You know? It's hard to impress a former athlete, for sure.
I agree.
So if you can, you are doing something.
Yeah.
So Patrick Mahomes is doing something.
Who else is doing it for you? Like, who else do you look at as a former athlete? You're like, damn.
Saquon Barkley.
Oh, he's so good, right?
Oh. Saquon Barkley. To see what he did in college and to come in the league and do it immediately when everyone expected him to do it is one thing. Mm-hmm. And for him to come up to live up to those expectations has been phenomenal to watch.
Yeah, he is outstanding, man. That guy, God, like he was trucking dudes last week against the Redskins too. Like he, as bad as the Giants are, he is so worth the price of admission now.
He was worth the second overall pick.
Yeah, because so many people were like, oh, I don't know if you should take this guy. He's a game changer. Mahomes is a game changer.
Let's bring it back to the Chiefs, though. I'll tell you someone else who is thoroughly impressing me. Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, right? Even with that bum ankle.
With
now,
the
he can bum run faster
ankle.
Than anybody.
I was already a big fan. I was already a fan of his work prior, but yesterday he showed me grittiness. Mm-hmm. And that's what you need to win a Super Bowl, because this time of year, you're not going to be feeling good. The temperature obviously is dropping. Your body is not going to feel like it normally does when it's 100 degrees out and you're all lubed up. So for him to fight through those nagging injuries and to come through clutch for his team was thoroughly impressive.
And now with the bum ankle, you can finally beat him in a race, huh?
Yeah, I can get him now. The problem is I got a bum calf muscle, so.
Getting to 40 is a little bit of a B, isn't it there, Dante?
Yeah, 40 is. No joke.
It really isn't. All right, let's play a little fact or fiction, Ryan, shall we?
Gentlemen, over the weekend, Patrick Mahomes had himself quite a game. He was, I wouldn't say solely responsible, but he was largely responsible for the Chiefs come from behind victory against the Ravens. I know that there was already some talk because of Drew Brees' poor performance 2 weeks ago about how the MVP may have already been sewn up for Patrick Mahomes, but I'll ask you, fact or fiction, the MVP race has already been decided.
I think it's over.
I agree. Fact.
Yeah. 100% fact. 100% fact on that one. Who else could there be for the MVP right now?
Drew Brees was there until the bad game against Dallas.
I agree. Yeah, and Mahomes had a bad game. I don't want to say that.
Even in his bad game, he's had a good game.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Like, you have five turnovers, but just put up 50.
There have been three games in which Patrick Mahomes didn't have over 300 passing yards this season. He has 10 touchdowns and no interceptions in those games.
Three.
So Dante's right. Yeah. Even his bad games are good. Let's see here. The loss of the New England Patriots this last week essentially gave the Chiefs an insurmountable lead for the one seed in the AFC. There's still some things that could go wrong for them if they lose out and the Patriots win out and some tiebreakers fall in their way. they could conceivably lose the number one seed, but for all intents and purposes, I think it's locked up. Over in the NFC, the Saints and the Rams are tied at 11-2, but the Saints have the tiebreaker over the Rams. Fact or fiction, the one seeds in both conferences have already been decided.
I'm going to say fact in the AFC, fiction in the NFC.
I'm going to go fact.
I'm fiction.
Oh, really?
I got to win this Charger game first. I got to finish off the division before I'm locking up the number one seed.
You hate this Charger game.
I hate this game.
I'm in agreement. I said it a few weeks ago on the show I was with you guys that this game has me nervous. And the fact that the Chargers have won 9 out of 10, what other team in the NFL is on that type of streak? Yeah.
And I'm glad
nine
this
out of 10.
I'm
Chiefs
glad
won 11-13.
I'm glad this was at home.
9 out of 10 is better. What kind of education do you have?
KU.
Man? Okay.
Speaking of the guy from beats. Texas, yeah.
This game's in L.A., though, and I'm
yeah, it's a different ball game if it's down
Thank
there.
Goodness this one's at home because, you know, that road Thursday thing's a tough call for me.
What's the stat? I think teams that play on a short week on the road.
Terrible.
Yeah. So.
It is. It's like one of the most unbelievable. Yeah, like something where the NFL should go, maybe
I don't
want to
take
do
that.
This.
Yeah. I don't want to take that for granted or anything. That's why I'm saying I don't think it's wrapped up. You got to win that division first and make sure all the work you put in all year isn't squandered at the end and you go from a one to a – you know, 4 or 5.
But I like both teams to number one seeds to hold home field advantage strictly because of the schedule. If you look at the Chiefs' schedule, like you say, we take care of this one. I feel like we can go to Seattle and beat them because they can't put up the points that we can. And Oakland at home to end the season. Those guys' bags will already be packed. NFC, I think they play their last two in the dome. That's as good as home field as
that
it gets.
Is, yeah.
I think –
I think both, though, the Chiefs and the Saints need that home field
advantage. I absolutely agree.
Yeah.
100%.
Final one for you guys. The Packers fired head coach Mike McCarthy after, 14 seasons at the helm in Green Bay. McCarthy
has a street named after him.
He does. Yeah, he hadn't made the playoffs, so in two consecutive seasons last year, I think he'd get a little bit of a pass because of the Aaron Rodgers injury. But this season, clearly he didn't get a pass because he no longer has a job. But the Green Bay Packers, after firing McCarthy, and I know it tends to happen sometimes in the NFL, the players rally together. We're going to show that we weren't the reason why, and they came back and won last week. Fact or fiction, boys, the Green Bay Packers, after a 2-year hiatus, returned to the playoffs in 2019.
No, because the Bears own that division now.
Wow. Wow, you said it emphatically, too.
That's right.
Well, any team that has
– look at that defense, dude. They hold the Rams to 6 points.
Hey, I am not disagreeing with that point at all. I'm just agreeing with the point I'm about to make.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers, if that guy is on any team, I'm going to ride that horse every year, no matter what.
He didn't say win a division, right? He said
return
to the playoffs.
Playoffs.
You know, KU education. They don't pay attention to the details.
You don't have to win the division to make the playoffs.
I understand. It's
so if you think the Bears are going to win the division, I'm like, can I get a playoff spot? Packers? Yeah, I think they're back next year. Yes.
Okay, we'll see. Doubt. We'll mark the tape.
And that is today's Fact or Fiction. We are live at Rally House 97th and Quivira. Dante Hall is with us until 10 o'clock as well. Stop on out and say hello. Coming up next, the Chiefs allegedly are mortal, and kryptonite might work. We'll see if we buy it next. We are back live at the Rally House, 97th and Quivira. We're here for about another 40 minutes. And your chance to register for a $500 voucher to Tickets for Less, $250 gift card to Rally House, and an autographed Neil Smith football. Dante Hall is with us as well. As we were hanging out at Rally House, you get some Dunkin' Donuts as well. Get that early morning shot. We're still before the normal hours, right?
Yeah,
still
I think so. Normal, yeah, normally like 10 o'clock.
So it's open early today. Get some early shopping done at Rally House as well. So come on out, 97th and Covera. Get yourself registered for that great gift pack we'll give away today after the show. Well, we were talking on the show yesterday with Trent Dilfer, former ESPNer.
That's right.
Former quarterback who used to work at ESPN, and he kind of had like a throwaway comment. He said, this is the time of the year where the producers at ESPN would come to us and say, okay, now you got to knock down all these teams and find something that's wrong with them. We kind of laughed about it. Well, less than what?
An hour after
the show came out, story comes out on ESPN.com with all the kryptonite that will affect every single one of the NFL teams. I'm like, man, he was like right on it.
Nailed
it. This is the time of the year where they start doing that. So their biggest kryptonite for the Chiefs was a strong running game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the servers, they say, yeah, that's been my concern. Can they stop the run? But I still look at it like, well, which team? Maybe it's just that Ravens team last week, and you might not see them in the playoffs again. You buying the kryptonite?
Somewhat. I think the kryptonite is a secondary.
Still, yeah.
Not necessarily the run game. The run game doesn't scare me. It's when they drop back and it's 3rd and 8 and we need to get off the field. That scares me.
That scares you and you can't get off the field. Yeah. See, I thought all along, in week 4, I made a big deal about this against the Broncos. Boy, if they run the ball well, and they did because that Philip Lindsay was starting to kind of become a household name. Mm-hmm. They play some good defense. That could be the blueprint to beat the Chiefs. And we've had 3 teams now with this blueprint to beat the Chiefs, and they haven't beat the Chiefs. You know, the Broncos twice and the Ravens on Sunday. The team, the actual, if there is a blueprint to beat the Chiefs, is try to outscore them and have the ball last.
Yes.
And that's the way you beat the Chiefs, man. That's
and you
like
do
the
that
only
by
way,
throwing
right?
the ball.
And you throw the ball all over the place. So when you brought up the secondary, I'm like, yeah, that really is. Like, if you can get into a shootout with the Chiefs and work the clock in your favor to have the ball last, you got a great chance to win that football
100%
game.
Because that's the only 2 losses that we have come on last-minute drives with the team possessing the ball last. And with that team – I probably looked this stat up. I guarantee you in both losses, we gave up over 350 yards passing.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And in those losses, they probably had less than 100 yards rushing.
Rushing.
Because so, Gurley wasn't that big of a factor.
He was not.
No, he was
it
not.
Was Woods and those receivers.
Yeah, they. I think he was over 500 yards for
and
that day, Gronk, if I'm not mistaken.
Gronk killed us.
Gronk, but what about having EB back in the playoffs against Gronk? I mean, you know.
I mean, the thing is, EB hasn't played in almost 2 years.
Yeah.
And you just, I mean, even the great Michael Jordan couldn't come right back into the fold and be Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
You need a couple of in-games to actually knock the rust off. So if EB can come back before the playoffs, get a game or two under his belt, then I feel a lot more comfortable. But just having him limited at practice and then think you're going to throw him out there against Gronk, and his first playoff game back, that could be a recipe for disaster.
Do you think the Chiefs should get Gronk for the playoffs to play defensive back?
No.
Do you think he'd be a good defensive back?
Are you kidding me? Did you see this angle he took?
Terrible angle.
A horrible angle.
I was listening to the guys in New York on WFAN last week, and the midday guys, and they said on the air, they go, I took this geometry. I'll never need that being a sports guy. I'm like, no, you need geometry every day in sports.
Acute angles and 90 degrees. And
like, if you know your angles in sports, you put yourself at such a bigger advantage, and Gronk's doing this like parallel run with this guy. I'm like, take an angle.
Bro,
what are you doing?
Cute is not going to work right now.
No, you got to go angle at that guy. And if Gronk took geometry or paid attention during geometry, he makes that play.
He started to come back a little bit.
Okay, KU.
The Rams game, they rushed for just 76 to the Rams.
Yeah. How many yards did they have passing?
379.
See what I'm saying?
That's
over
it?
350. What do you mean?
370. That's all they. That's all the yardage that they had. And they put up 55 points.
Short.
They did have short field.
And then the Patriots did rush for 173.
Oh, whoa.
And 327 passes.
Okay, so I'm half right, half wrong.
That's all a good day for a married man. Right?
Preach, Bob.
Half right, half wrong. I'll take that. That's a win.
That was a while ago, too. Like, I didn't feel like they ran for that much, but they did.
Wow, 173.
They had 500 total yards, 327, 173. So.
Okay.
But you also have the
difference. I'm with you. Getting off the field. Ooh, that does scare you.
Yeah.
That does scare you.
Yeah.
That did the other day against the Ravens.
We could not get off the field.
Yeah.
And they kept running that same little drag crossing. Play action, crossing routes. It killed us all day. So, but I think our secondary, with that being said, I think our secondary has improved tremendously. I like the fact that D Ford and Justin Houston are getting pressure on the quarterback. That'll help the secondary a lot. And if we can get teams to come into Arrowhead in January, I like our chances, even with the secondary being what it is.
A defense plays a notch better at home, too.
Yeah,
they do.
Clear. They
yes,
do.
They
play much better at home. Yep, but, yep. Like the big difference, like with this kryptonite stuff that they were talking about, I'm like, yeah, but the difference is Patrick Mahomes takes kryptonite and throws it away. And it
swallows
doesn't, like,
it and spits it out.
Yeah, like yeah. He's like, he negates anything. Like, we haven't seen a guy do that
he
before.
Does what's necessary.
Yeah.
He does just enough to get the job done. But yeah, running game. If that's our kryptonite, I feel good.
Sure,
I
absolutely feel,
good.
Yeah. Somebody wants to know about Andy Reid being the kryptonite, not being aggressive.
Wow. Now that's a good point because I was actually a fan at the last game.
Mm-hmm.
I was telling some guys, it was like, why is he calling that? Why is he? Why?
Like you talking about that declining,
like,
that penalty?
You feel because the were you in the stadium? Were you guys in the stadium? The energy at the end of that game was so palpable you could feel it. Like 80,000 nervous fans. You don't think the coaches and the players feel that? Oh, you feel it. We used to call it the tight booty. That booty, all that air goes out of that booty, and you just get real tight, and you start calling really, really conservative plays. I saw it with my own eyes on this past Sunday.
And so. You guys live that even when you were playing?
It, 100%.
Really? The crowd has that much of an effect?
Yes, yes, 100%.
Wow.
100%. You can feel it.
So every
I
know
you.
I felt that through the TV on Sunday, right? And I'm not kidding. I'm like, boy, it feels very nervous out there today, right?
You could hear a rat pissing on cotton out there. Yeah. It was so quiet. Are you kidding me? It was so quiet. I'm looking around like, what is going on?
But the fact that you're telling me, like, the coaches
feel that too,
I'm like, come on now.
Yeah, okay.
But Andy Reid does, though. But it's interesting. No, I'm glad to get this perspective because I'm like, really, the coaches are
coaches, the players, everyone.
The one thing that I will say about Andy, where I kind of got up, so I got my book. You like this gold trim book that I got now because
I can't
remember anything.
Keeps track of his thoughts.
That third and whatever it was would have been he declined the penalty. Instead of taking the penalty and giving him like a third and one, he declined it and took a second down over again or something like that and ended up kicking him out of field goal range, I think. And I'm like scratching my head. I'm going, what the heck? Why is he not taking that penalty? Or why is he declining that penalty and not accepting that penalty?
Is this when Baltimore had the ball?
No, when the Chiefs had the ball. Gosh, where the heck was it right now? I
got
to find it.
You got too many notes.
See, my question was the end of regulation when they didn't run another play to try to get a little closer field goal and they had two timeouts to burn.
I didn't have a problem with that.
He just took it all the way down and called the timeout.
I think I know the third down.
I'd have grabbed a few more yards there.
Yeah, I think we were okay there. You were in Buckner's range easily. You don't want to chance any type of fumble, which we had prior.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have a problem with that. Okay. I had a problem with, I think, the third down play that he's talking about. Because it was
a throw to Kelce, right? And it was like a defensive.
It was very conservative.
No, but they had a penalty, and it would have been a third and one or something like that. And I don't remember. Oh, second, it was second and 18, and they completed it down to the 24. It would have been third and one. Or first and 10 at the 37. He took the first and 10 at the 37, and then on the next play, Mahomes gets sacked for like 15 yards on first down
and kicked him out of field goal range.
Instead of taking the yards and being third and one, he gave up the yards and made it first and 10.
Okay, I remember.
So essentially, you're taking points off the board at a situation like that. The postseason, that kind of call by a coach can come back to bite you. To me, you never take points or yards off the board.
I can't disagree with that. Yeah, okay.
Fourth quarter, that's where it was, right at the beginning of the fourth quarter.
I don't know if his mindset was that, you know, we take the first down, run a little more clock.
Maybe. But there's still 14 minutes to go in that game,
okay,
too.
Well, that debunks that theory.
What you're saying is being a coach isn't easy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Right,
That's what you're saying.
Dante Hall joining us. We are at the Rally House 97th at Quivira. One of the all-time greats will be saluted
for Dante, everybody.
On Thursday night. And we'll get Dante's thoughts on 88 next.
You could hear a rat pissing on cotton out there. Yeah. It was so quiet. Are you kidding me? Fesco in the morning.
We're live at Rally House 97 the Quivira. Still a few minutes, 25 minutes or so, to get yourself signed up to win that $500 voucher to Tickets for Less, $250 gift card to Rally House, and an autographed Neil Smith football. Also, you can get donuts from Dunkin' Donuts and see Dante Hall. Dennis is a longtime listener.
First-time caller?
Dennis. Oh. His daughter works here at the Rally House,
and
she found out she was coming to work early because of him.
Oh.
He said, oh, I heard Fesco in the morning is going to be out there on Tuesday. She said, they are?
Yeah.
I said, so you found out you were having to show up for work early because we were here from your dad? She said, yes. So Dennis is listening to the show today.
What's up, Dennis?
Dennis!
So, Dennis Stone, his daughter, made it to work on time.
Well, that's good.
Albeit a little bit early because of us. So
are you Dennis's daughter?
No, she disappeared that. She disappeared that.
Just keep yelling that at random
women.
That's right.
Yeah, great.
Going to go well.
Thursday, Dante, not only big game for the Chiefs, but a lot of the alums coming back, and certainly one of the biggest, number 88, getting a well-deserved honor, Tony Gonzalez.
Top three, in my opinion, all-time Chiefs.
All-time Chiefs?
Oh, yeah.
That's fair.
I can be a little biased.
What's your favorite Tony Gonzalez moment?
Favorite?
Not game, like off-the-field stuff or like having fun or that kind of.
Moment. I can't say it on air.
Oh, come on.
I'll tell you off air. I'll tell you off air. What just went through my mind.
All right.
Yeah, I'll tell you off air. But I'll tell you what I do think about this guy. I used to call him the Michael Jordan of football. And what I mean by that is everyone knows the success stories of Jordan, obviously, right? The six rings, no game sevens, and all of that good stuff. Mm-hmm. But what I always pluck from stories I heard about Jordan was how he practiced, that he was a maniac in practice as far as going hard and preparing himself. And I think that kind of gets shuffled under the table. Tony Gonzalez, the way he practiced and prepared every day for 7 years was impressive. It was Michael Jordan-like, the way he worked on his game. And that's what impressed me most about him. This guy, this good, that long, every day doing the same thing. When other guys were joking on the side, he's over there doing little drills and things to make himself better. That's what I remember most about him. Like, wow, this guy's a consummate pro, true professional. Working on his game all the time.
And people wonder, like, what separates a good player from a great player from a Hall of Fame player. It is those little things, you know. And yep. I remember talking to Vermeil one time about Priest Holmes, who we're roasting tomorrow night. I'm looking forward to that. And he said he does what he does because he does what he does. Mm. And I'm like, what the hell are you talking about here, right? But every play, Priest would finish in the end zone, in the end zone, in the end zone, in the end zone. Like, just doing those little things over and over again takes you from being really, really good to, boom, you know, making it up to the top level.
It's funny you say that because I plucked a little bit from Priest in that. I would do that in the return game when I would practice.
Uh-huh.
I would start taking him to the house to get the body used to running that long and get it conditioned. And then I took a little bit from Tony as well as far as working on little mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
Off to the side. Like, I would do that in the return game. I would have maybe guys come down and let me feel pressure in catching a punt. I would get Colquitt to, you know, give me an extra 10 to 15 balls before practice or during practice if it was a defensive drill. So I definitely plucked from the Priest Holmes and the Tony Gonzalez, and I think it attributed to my success.
Yeah, it's better than plucking from somebody who doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I was plucking for some knuckleheads my first year. That's how I almost ended up out of the league. And I was like, I might want to follow Priest and Tony Gonzalez.
Yeah.
And Will Shields, too. That's
Will's,
another guy.
Yeah. Who'd you say are your top three Chiefs, then, with Tony Gonzalez on that list?
Len Dawson.
Yep.
Tony Gonzalez. Will Shields.
I think Will is too, man. Like
those are my top three.
We're talking about, like, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, like Hall of Fame offensive lineman. You're like, how do you know if somebody's a Hall of Fame offensive lineman? You knew Will Shields was a Hall of Fame offensive lineman. Like, it's one of those things, like, you know it when you see it.
And, exactly.
And Will was one of those guys. The things that he would do, I remember one game against Arizona you guys were playing. He was leading the pack down the field. He was leading Priest. You know what play I'm talking about? He's leading Priest Holmes down the field. It was like an 80-yard run. He broke it, boom, and he was gone. And I'm like, and there's 68 leading the charge down the field. I'm like, well, he's not supposed to outrun the running back.
A guy at that size moving like that.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
But he was also one of those guys who did it right, man. When he got off the field, that was it. He was calm off the field. And that's hard for a lot of dudes to turn that off when they get off the field, you know. And Will was always this mild-mannered guy, man.
Who are you guys' top three? Is Tony Gonzalez in your top three?
He's in mine. He's just one of my all-time favorites.
I love the tight end position, so I'm kind of biased about that because, I mean, I grew up loving Mark Bavaro, man.
Okay, New York Giants.
Yeah, and just like my build as a kid, I didn't want to be an offensive lineman, but I wasn't a quarterback. I wasn't a running back, but I had good hands, and I felt like I could be a tight end. So I was like, but I was. I ended up being a lineman all the time.
Tony was just so automatic.
Yeah.
Like, when in doubt.
Just throw it to 88.
Just throw it out. He'll go get it, get your first down, whatever you need to get done.
Yeah,
you know?
He's up there. Len Dawson is up there. And, boy, I mean, there's so many Hall of Famers.
Oh, it's a lot. We definitely have to
Bobby
disrespect
Bell can
some.
Be on this
Bobby
list.
Bell,
I mean,
absolutely.
How could he not be on this list?
Derek Thomas.
DT could be on this list. I mean, Neil could potentially be on this list.
Neil, absolutely.
And you're going to laugh, but Dustin Colquitt's been around since 2005 and has been one of the best punters in the history of the game.
Hands down, but yeah.
But he's a punter.
Well, pun is important.
It is.
Good position.
But there could be a number 15 on that list in about 10 years when you look back and you start to say, who's on that list of the three greatest Chiefs? This kid's rising fast, man.
I agree.
He could be on that list in about, I don't know, he wins a Super Bowl this year. He may be on this list, right?
He may rocket towards the top.
He may be on this list right now. I mean, he's entering that kind of Len Dawson
status. Let's see what happens
in
the playoffs, because we've had a lot of teams and a lot of guys come through and be real successful during the regular season. We have to get over this playoff burden.
How do you get over that, though? Because to me, it feels like this is the guy to get us over.
I agree. Because we've had the home field advantage.
Right.
We've had great teams, mm-hmm. great coaches. Mm-hmm. But you need that dynamic player. And Trent Green was a Pro Bowler, great quarterback, loved playing with him. But it's the throws and the things and the dynamics that Patrick Mahomes brings to the table is the difference maker this year, I believe. I think he'll be the difference
and,
maker.
And the fact that he doesn't go, you know, when he gets out there in pressure, like he doesn't even realize.
The booty stays loose for sure. No tight booties with that guy.
There
but
isn't.
Like,
yeah.
We've had great defenses with Neil Smith and DT.
Yeah.
Think about that. They've had games to where they've held teams to single digits
yep.
and lost. So, to me, I think, especially in this quarterback era and age, that we have to jump on Patty Mahomes' back, and he's going to be the difference maker this year.
We had a couple seasons ago, we had a defense that didn't allow a touchdown and still lost
the
playoff
still
game.
Lost
I mean,
yeah.
Amazing
yeah.
stuff has happened.
So, defenses doesn't win championships. Quarterbacks
win championships. Maybe that's what it is.
I'll roll the dice with the quarterback for sure. We are live at Rally House, 97th and Quivira. Stop on out. Still about 20 minutes to sign up to get the prize pack that we're going to give away at the end of the show today. Don't need to be present to win. Just need to be present to sign up, right? $500 gift card to Tickets for Less, $250 gift card to Rally House, and an autographed Neil Smith football. Dante Hall is with us. We need to chat quickly with Paul Charchian of Fanball.com as you're getting ready for your fantasy football playoffs. We'll check in with him. And also, we'll look at this Thursday night matchup. With Dante Hall, he'll discuss the matchup with the Chargers next.
Fesco in the morning.
We are back at Rally House, 97th and Quivira. Still about 15 minutes to sign up to win the great prize pack giving away today. Someone registering today is going to win a $500 gift card to Tickets for Less. That'll get you some playoff tickets. $250 gift card to Rally House and an autographed Neil Smith football. 97th and Quivira, location of Rally House. Come on in. We have donuts as well. And get a little Dunkin' Donuts on the way into work and get some early shopping in as we opened the store.
Yes, we
did.
This
morning, bright and early at 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. People were in shopping today. So you can get all the good stuff that is here at Rally House.
And all the big celebrities are here. Dan the Taylor Man even
there
walked in.
Go.
So there you go.
We had quite a few people asking, like, Dan Dan's just across the parking lot. We're like, yes,
he'll
is.
He'll be in later.
Sure, we'll see him at some point in time. Paul Charchian of Fanball.com dropping by as well as we talk to Charch each and every week. Normally it's about the waiver wire. I'm guessing
right.
This time of the year, though, Charch, not so much about the waiver wire, but how to make yourself set up for the fantasy postseason.
Well, I mean, sometimes it kind of still is about the waiver wire. Look at your game on Thursday. Justin Jackson's going to be the starting running back for the Chargers, and
True.
I think Eckler and Gordon aren't going to go at all, and he could get like 100% of the work. So sometimes, and he's actually available in half a fantasy league still, Justin Jackson is. So I think in some cases you can still find, you know, you can still be a team that can get this far in the playoffs, but still find help on the waiver wire in a meaningful way.
So besides him on Thursday night, I mean, like, who else can we grab right now to go out there and make our fantasy team better as we get ready for what some are starting the playoffs, some are already into the postseason? Like, who else is out there right now?
Let me give you a couple other names. And a guy we've talked about, I think, for 3 weeks running now, Josh Allen to the Bills. Speaking of running, he just broke Michael Vick's 3-game rushing record with 335 yards in the last 3 weeks. He is the highest scoring quarterback in fantasy football since returning from his elbow injury 3 weeks ago. Number one. So don't feel like, well, I got to go with the guy that got me there. You know, Josh Allen has been astounding with the rushing yards primarily, and he's got the Lions this week. So this feels like an opportunity for him to do it potentially on the ground and through the air. And get this, despite the fact that he's the number one scoring quarterback the last three weeks, Josh Allen's ownership percentage is only 17%. People are sleeping on him, and maybe they just, you know, he's a Bills quarterback, and they don't believe he can keep it going. And who knows, maybe it won't keep going. But that's somebody that's definitely rostering. And then I'll give you one other name that I think is a legitimate guy that can help you in the playoffs. Kenneth Dixon for the Ravens looks like he's going to take over the starting role potentially as soon as this week from Gus Edwards. You guys saw the game last week, so you saw that Gus didn't do a lot. Kenneth Dixon looked better, he's got the Buccaneers this week. He could be another guy that you could start as a flex this week and actually a positive matchup the following week as well. So there's a couple of guys that could help you out.
Church is still looking at these offensive guys, Fesco, that face the Chiefs.
Yeah.
They're always appealing.
I know. Isn't it funny how that works? Speaking of your Chiefs, so yeah, I need you guys to talk me off the ledge a little bit because, as you know, I've heavily invested my fantasy teams in Chiefs because I was very optimistic heading into the season. But I'm really nervous about this game. I was nervous about last week's game, too, and it ended up okay, and thanks to fourth quarter heroics and overtime for a lot of our guys, and then Tyreek Hill playing just, every time I see him, he's dragging dragging his leg behind him, like, oh, this is going to be the end of it for Tyreek Hill, and he kept playing. It was amazing. But then I look at this game, and I get worried because of all the intangibles. One, the letdown from last week's incredibly emotional game, and the short week as potentially another factor, and then I'll also throw in Sam Watkins. I probably doesn't play Tyreek Hill trying to hobble through his heel injury, and then you've got a really good Chargers pass defense. Since week 5, the Chargers have allowed an average passing game of just 220 yards and one score. So I'm nervous about my Chiefs right now. Should I be?
Jonte, why don't you answer that question? Dante Hall with us here.
You should be nervous. I'm nervous. I think we all are a little nervous.
That's like the Chiefs fan mentality. I'm not nervous at all about this.
But
game.
From a fantasy perspective, I'm not nervous because I think the Chiefs are going to put up points. Whether or not they win the game is another.
The reason I'm nervous is because anytime you get a guy like Phillip Rivers at the quarterback position.
Chiefs are renting time in that dome, brother.
Okay. I hope you're right. I think they will win, but I think it would be a nail-biter, as last week was, to where any particular play can swing the pendulum to a win or a loss. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to be as easy as you think, even if Melvin Gordon plays or doesn't play. I think my nervousness comes down to Phillip Rivers. He's hot right now. He's even having an MVP-caliber type season. They've won 9 out of 10. It hasn't mattered that Melvin hasn't played. They've won tough games on the road, so they are groomed to do that. The secondary, as the guy mentioned, is outstanding. They have a young group of guys. Look out.
See, Charge, I don't know if we answered your question or not, but I think from a fantasy perspective, though, you'd be fine.
I think it's pretty cool that Dante Hall just picks up in the middle of the conversation and just look at everything he adds to that. Holy
what's God. The question? We didn't answer the question.
He takes the ball and runs to the best of them.
Yeah. Wait. What was the question? Did we not answer the question?
Should he be nervous?
I think we
should. Yes. You said yes. Yes. Yeah. I think your first one was yes.
Okay. Did a bunch of rhetoric after that.
Hey, Church, we'll look ahead a little bit to people playing the keeper leagues next week when we chat with you as well, that we want to kind of get some insight on what people should be looking for when they're thinking about the next season, especially the ones that are out of their fantasy football playoffs. Charge, we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, that sounds great. There are some good, especially receivers to stash for next year, and we'll tell you who they are next week. I love it. Thanks, guys. Have fun with Dante. Bye bye.
That's Paul Charchi at fanball.com. Joins us each and every Tuesday at 9:45.
I've never played fantasy. I think next year I'm going to do
it. You never have, huh?
Never have.
Really?
Yep.
Do you do like the basketball pool and the bracket and things like that?
The closest thing I've done was I went to a fantasy the party that they have when they have the draft.
Right.
Fantasy draft party.
Yeah.
That's pretty fun.
That's just for dudes to get away from their wives and drink some beer, though.
Hey, sign me up. I'm playing next year.
Oh, we're playing fantasy football.
He's in the league.
MLS.
Whatever, yeah.
MLB.
Whatever. You'll
what,
do it.
What else is out there?
You'll do it.
NBA, NHL.
All that. Sign me up.
All
you're
of
in
it.
Every league. Yeah.
All of it.
It's the ultimate get away from your wives. Well, I got my fantasy draft tonight. I got to go. I mean, okay, fine. Oh, you know.
That's what that's about. Okay.
Yeah. See, now it's starting to click a little bit.
That.
You got that? Yeah.
I think everything you brought up, too, about the Chargers, that, like, Phillip Rivers still scared. I mean, I've been trying to shut the window on the Chargers for how many years now? Like, every season you're like, they won't go away. Like, they're just there. And this season, I'm like, I'm scoreboard watching way early in the season. Like, can the Chargers just go away so we can ramp up the division? I mean, this playing for the number one seed stuff's great, but can they just Can they just go away to make it official in the West? They don't go away.
So if they win Thursday, what happens?
They got to win. The Chiefs have to lose two of their final three to not win the division. Okay, because
so they would have to lose. They're not losing against the Raiders. That's a win.
Right.
So they would have to lose
San Diego
and Seattle.
And if they do that and the Chargers win out, then the Chargers – because the Chiefs have the tiebreaker with AFC West games, because the Chargers losing to the Broncos was a double whammy for them, man. You lose not only a game, but you also lose that AFC West game.
Okay.
And the Chiefs don't have any AFC West losses.
Do we know
losses.
The Chargers last three or two games after this one?
I know they have Denver in the finale.
They've got the Ravens.
At Denver or at home? Even though they're home field advantage,
it's useless. It doesn't matter. But the Ravens are at the Chargers after this week.
Whew.
Okay, so they got the Chiefs, they've got the Ravens, and they've got the Broncos.
That's a tough last three games.
Yes, that is not.
But I've been counting on them to lose. They just never lose.
That's tough.
I had them slammed in that Steeler game.
That's what I'm saying.
Last Sunday night too, and they didn't. I'm like, wait a minute here.
You look up, they're 10-3.
Yeah,
I know.
A quiet 10-3.
That's exactly right. But you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers are the ones. They may not make the playoffs.
I don't think they're going to make it.
They got the Patriots, and the Patriots aren't losing. After a loss, they don't follow it up with a loss.
They have the Patriots this week.
They got the Patriots. Then they got at the Saints, and then they got the Bengals coming in. The Ravens are winning that division, and that's why I'm cautioning people as they root for, you know, the Steelers to lose. We want the Steelers to win.
Agreed. That's a good point.
Want the Ravens as the 4 seed, because the Ravens would be the 4 seed and they would play the 5 seed. It may be the Chargers. If they win that game against the Chargers, then they're coming back to Arrowhead Stadium on January 13th. You want to see the Ravens again?
I like the Steelers.
Right, so
go
be rooting
Steelers.
For the Steelers, right?
Yeah, buddy, go Steelers.
Got to go for the Steelers to win that division. I don't want anything to do with the Baltimore Ravens
at all.
Floating around. Or if the Ravens fall down to a 6 seed even, right? Say they end up as the 6 seed because that's the way it is right now. If they beat the 3 seed, which would be Houston?
Patriots right now.
Would it be Patriots right now?
Patriots are 2.
Houston right now.
Yeah, Houston right now. So if they could beat Houston as the 6th seed beating the 3 seed, then they would come. We got a good chance of seeing the Baltimore Ravens again. We got to find a way to knock their ass
out.
And the thing about
the Ravens, even if you beat them, you're going to come out of that game beat up.
Yeah. You don't want to play
like
the Ravens
this
again.
Past weekend.
Yeah. Beat up. You don't want to play that team.
That's the team you don't want to play.
Agreed.
It's been fun today. We still have we'll still open up 5 more minutes. You want to get in here to Rally House, get yourself signed up for that great gift pack we're giving away. But thanks to the folks at Rally House for having us out today and get that holiday shopping done today. You can do some damage here at Rally House. I plan on doing that probably.
You were told not to shop because your wife is already buying you gifts.
I was told that. We'll see. 97th Aguirre, our location today. Still a few more minutes to get out. Sign up for the gift card Tickets for Less and Rally House and the autographed Neil Smith football. Come on and register, and about 5 minutes to go for that. Don't forget, we'll be out tomorrow night as well, the Ultimate Christmas 2018. Hope to see you to benefit the Noah's Vantage Project, Kansas Hall and Overland Park, tomorrow night at 6. Free party to say thank you to everyone
else.
And
free pizza.
We'll have more on that coming up tomorrow. Show and Vern, come your way next here on 610 Sports Radio.